when the Knight of Cruelties caused a kingdom to be torn asunder. A champion was needed, and a tournament was called. Warriors from all over the world have entered, but only one will be judged worthy of the prize. Are we dead yet?
We are back in the only city in the Saracee where sleeves are functionally illegal, unless you wear a onesie. Last time in our classic tale of wrestling prowess, the new hotshot fighter group that conveniently features our player characters has overcome two challenging team battles, wresting victory from both the Upside Down Groove and Nature's Curse. Now they enter into the upper leagues of combat, where the remaining teams are either from Paragons or the Villain Squads, and they're very, very much stronger than the previous ones. Are they just as weird? Probably. At the roar of the crowd, it takes you back into the scene. The hard stone of the arena floor is covered in blood from Nimbus, the Bloodmancer's unfortunate choice to show everyone the Blood Snowman technique. As a fun fact, Stadium Raji janitors are some of the highest paid in the circuit for good reason. Viridia, armored and holding her stained glass spear, takes to her floating stage above and smiles. And that was Sindri and the Butler of the Voice of Horror. Yeti's Blood Brothers did not stand a chance. And as the arena is being cleaned up, a team of three of you are getting ready for the next fight. How are you preparing?
Oh, shit, it's us.
Yeah, that's us.
Oh, no, I wasn't prepared.
So I think appropriately, seeing as this is a harder fight, Dirk has decided to skip the beer today and he's gone straight to liquor.
Oh,
so
God.
He's doing...
Oh, damn.
He's doing a line of shots right now.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You know what? Maybe in my intro, I should have warned against the dangers of alcohol use instead of the dangers of picking up levels in Fighter and Monk and RKOing your neighbor.
Takeru is right alongside Dirk doing much the same, except with Jello shots.
That does count as a food.
Now, brother, I gotta... I need you to tell me, brother, how do they get the alcohol into the jelly?
I don't know, friend. I don't know, but it's...
All right, that's fair, brother.
It's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
All right, you can have those. I'll stick to mine.
Okay. Waffles is just going to be in the corner of the locker room, because is that where we are? I guess we're preparing. Waffles is just going to be glaring at them in the corner, arms crossed and everything, in its onesie still.
Is it a different onesie, or is it the same... disadvantage on attacks against you onesie?
Yeah, it's the disadvantage against attacks onesie.
Okay, so it's still a displacer beast onesie, which is adorable because you're a dog, but you're wearing a big panther onesie.
Yup.
I visualize distinctly all of those Pikachus, the plushies that they release, where it's Pikachu with the onesie of another Pokemon on top of it. Like, that is the exact, like, visual I get in my brain.
Exactly, except it's like a grumpy dog. A grumpy small dog.
It's very good. Alright, the gate opens, and as you enter the arena, you hear a surprising level of boos. The crowd seems to be inherently against you when you feel it. It's demoralizing as people hold up signs that don't say your catchphrases, but instead say, "Icy heroes have my heart." Across from you in the arena are your three challengers. Their leader is a gray-skinned tiefling with luminous eyes and swords made of ice. This is Dancer, a widely popular fighter due to them actually helping some adventurers fight off a very scary demon around 6 months ago. So definitely not a good time, and Dancer was one of the people on the front lines fighting that demon. Alongside of Dancer, to the left, is a Triton with green hair and two daggers and a build that suggests agility. His name is Fins, and he's a young heartthrob that carries a high level of prestige, or also helping fight that demon. To Dancer's right is another Triton with a shaved head and a very serious look on his face. This is Amatore. He's a relative newcomer to the fighting scene. His gimmick appears to be charging opponents with colluding with witches and kidnapping his dear sweet sister. This follows up by judging them Inquisition style. And granted, this would be horrible if you were an individual fighter, but as part of a hero gimmick, it's kind of soft in the edges. So most of the time when he's yelling stuff like, "You have been judged and found wanting," and "Foul night creatures, give me back my family," most of the crowd will just start yelling, "My family!" Which is, I don't know. I don't know if it affects him in a way, but it's definitely made him a little, like, concerned. But, you know, that his psychology is something we will discuss never. But he does do a lot of cool, neat, sort of cleric-y things. So a lot of people are a fan of that.
Dirk's going to kind of, like, not walk in, but kind of, like, waddle in, because he's feeling it right now. Eyes glazed over. Mm-hmm. He's going to point right at Dancer and scowl.
Dancer kind of blinks twice and tilts their head a little bit and, like, points the sword at themselves, like, me?
And Dirk's gonna belch.
Oh. And Dancer just starts laughing.
Takeru's gonna make his entrance, just, like, flexing and showing off his body, like, doing the, "Oh, like, I'm so sexy," kind of, like...
That's good, that's good.
...walk down the thing. Not really paying the other team any attention.
I like that, for sure.
Yeah, I think Waffles isn't going to pay attention really to the people either. Waffles is going to be busy trying to woo the crowd already and is like waving at people and everything.
Oh, that is something to note. As Waddles walks out, the boos definitely lessen in volume because it's Waffles. I said Waddles. I don't know why I said that. It's Waffles. That's a completely different child animal person name.
I had said Waddle, like... less than 90 seconds ago. It was fresh on your brain.
Oh man, you guys are already messing with my words.
There you go. Have a Waffles waddles out because the onesie creates kind of like a little baggy thing on the bottom.
Oh, that's
so it's more
good.
Like
that's
waddling
good.
Instead of actual walking.
That's good. Yeah, there's like a whole...
So you look like a baby walking.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, it's probably a little stretched out from last fight, and we haven't had time to take it to the dry cleaner
Nobody's like, it's been really stressful.
Up, so.
No one's had time to get their costumes cleaned out. It's a whole thing.
Exactly.
All right, so what are you going to do to appeal the crowd this first round and see who's going to go first? Because if I need to remind our listeners, initiative is done by appealing to the crowd with a relevant check, and the group that gets the most successful appeals will go first, and then the other group will go afterwards.
Ooh, okay. Waffles will start first. Waffles is gonna do a cute-ass little jig. Oh, it'll be, yeah, a song. He'll sing a tune, just like a happy pump-up song, and some drop-in-the-bass bagpipe music. If you can even drop the bass. The bagpipe.
It should be, like, yeah, our theme song.
Yeah, it'll be our team theme,
play
song.
Our theme song.
It'll be like
we should name ourselves as well. We should be something, I don't know, just like Hot Fuzz or something.
Hot Fuzz.
There's not
Dirt can be hot.
Honestly, I can throw
me and Waffles are fuzz.
However many giant monsters at you all. The true struggle that every party struggles with is what the hell to name themselves.
Yeah. I guess we were pretty lucky with Salt Marsh. We got Ghost Burners super quick.
Well, okay, so hang on. We've got Waffles and we've got day drinking. Do you know what activity includes both Waffles and day drinking?
Brunch?
Brunch.
Brunch. The brunch squad?
Oh my god.
We are the brunch crew.
I kind of love
the
that.
The brunch
though.
Crunch is absolutely for everything about food. So
yeah, yes. The Paragons, the villain squad, and the brunch crew.
Oh no.
Oh, I love this.
Brunch
All right.
crew or brunch
club?
Crunch?
You could be like the breakfast club.
But the brunch
club. The brunch club. It's the brunch club.
Oh, that's
brunch
good. Club. That's good.
Okay, we sound like a bunch of dorky people. We're the brunch club.
Yeah, and like that name inspires fear now because you've gotten two high profile victories under your belt.
Beware of the brunch club.
Yeah, they're crazy. They'll scare you so bad your legs will pop out and make you extra long.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So after Waffles finishes the theme song of the brunch club, Takeru's gonna step forward and be like, "I skipped breakfast this morning, and them fish guys are looking mighty tasty. I'm gonna take them to brunch."
Finn's is used to people thinking that he's attractive, so he just like winks at you. Amatore looks at you and goes, "Brunch? I don't deserve brunch. I have to save my sister from witches." So that's his whole thing. Dancer is still laughing at the belch, and he's like wiping off a tear, or they're wiping off a tear, and they're like, "Oh, oh god, Oh, you guys are so funny. Oh, this is going to be great. So, Waffles, go ahead and roll me for that, a relevant role for that song and dance routine. What is everyone else doing?
Dirk is going to pour himself a glass and attempt the triple backflip without spilling his...
Oh, that's very, very fancy. Some Tony Hawk shit. Go ahead and roll a relevant check for that.
I got 22, by the way.
Damn,
Zoe. Amazing. Yeah, no, people love the brunch theme song. It's really catchy. It's like an earworm. All right, so we're doing some backflip rolls. What is what's Takara doing for the appeal?
Oh, that was my appeal, the taunt.
Oh, okay, got it. So what? Go ahead. I've got the 22 for the song and dance. What's everyone else's rolls?
What do you want me to roll for that?
Ooh, so for a triple backflip, that can be acrobatics.
Oh no, my Takara's taunt.
Oh, Takara's taunt. That can be intimidation. It can be persuasion. It's up to you.
Yeah, I'll go for intimidation.
Dirk got an 8 for that roll.
Ooh, okay. So it's more like a single backflip, and the drink falls, and dancer keeps laughing.
Can I try to save myself by flopping on the ground to catch it in my mouth as the drink falls?
Yeah, sure.
Can I save this?
Yeah, roll a d4 and add it, because you've been blessed by me.
It's a 3 now.
So yeah, now instead of an 8, it is a clean 9. So you're flopping, and most people are like, "Oh my god, are they gonna have to stop the fight? Like, he doesn't look okay. Like, he's flopping. Is he good?" So there was some concern among the crowd.
Did Dirk perceive the concern?
I'm gonna say no, because you're flopping on the ground.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, you know, it's an involved process, flopping. And Takeru, what did you roll for your taunt?
I rolled an 18.
That's very good. Yeah, your taunt works very well, and I think it works more on Amatore than it does on Finn's, but Finn's does look a little bit like, the only reason I go to brunch is when my groupies take me to brunch, so this can't be happening. And so yeah, like, the fight has been kind of set up. You see Dancer starts juggling these giant ice swords, just like flinging them into the air and juggling them, and that's going to be a very fancy looking athletics check. If only my dice would roll. That's a nat 20 for Dancer. Finn's is going to appeal to the crowd by looking at what appear to be a group of most genders, all genders really, just hanging out, and they all have like Finn's related merchandise, and they're all winking and throwing stuff at him and like throwing flowers, and he just winks at them and they all kind of like faint. So it's going to be a charisma type roll. And unfortunately, like, a bunch of sand like gets in Finn's eyes, and the wink just turns into like crying as he like leans over and tries to wipe the sand out of his eyes. So he, because he only rolled a 9. And then finally, you see Amatore step forward and deliver his classic line: "You have been judged by me and my group, and you have been found wanting." And he's going to roll intimidation. that's only going to be a 14. So it looks like Dancer's doing some amazing juggling, but everyone behind them is just really fucking it up, just not doing as well as they could be. So it looks like even though the crowd has kind of like naturally aligned against you, you are going to start at 0 instead of minus 10.
Yeah.
And for listeners who missed out on our first episode, which, what are you doing here? This is like the midpoint, you buffoon. Basically, higher appeal that the group makes will let them deal more damage. But if the appeal passes to the opponents deal more damage. All right, so you're all going first. What do you want to do?
I'm going to cast Command.
Okay, what kind of saving throw is that? Wisdom?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. Cool.
A wisdom saving throw.
What does Dancer have to beat?
It's save DC, it's 15.
Ooh, okay, so Dancer does not succeed. What is your one-word command to Dancer?
Grovel.
Dancer, like, mid-juggling swords, just, like, falls to the ground and, like, is on hands and knees and is kind of, like, looking like when a child pretends to be a dog and, like, looks around really confused, like, I didn't want to do... What?
Waffles is just gonna laugh. This is on the inside because Waffles can't show, obviously, that they're evil on the outside. But Waffles inside is just, actually, no, I can't. I was gonna be like, can I just send a message? That'd be cheating.
I'm gonna say, because you're mostly using it to like talk smack, I don't mind if you use it as a bonus action.
Okay. Oh, so Waffles is gonna like send a message and be like to Dancer just very secretly, and like evil laughs is like, heh, 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 bow down to me, you humanoid, and just but looks super cute on the outside.
Oh, right. And then Dancer looks up, and you hear them in your head, because with message they can respond, and they just go, when I fought one of those demons, I thought that was the main issue. I see now that you might be somehow worse, and that terrifies me.
And Waffles is gonna just look back and give like the cutest face, just like a cute, innocent face.
Oh god, if Dancer could get up, they can't, but if they could, they'd be real mad. So the swords they were juggling, because they were made of like shards of ice, just like shatter on the ground around them. And you've seen Dancer fight before. Dancer literally like draws them out of the moisture in the air, so like losing the swords is not a huge downside, but they do have to make more.
That's outside me laughing.
Yeah. Alright, who's next?
I'll go ahead and go next.
Sure.
So Dirk is going to run in on Amatore here, and he's going to make two unarmed attacks.
Ooh, okay. So what are we looking at today?
That's going to be an 8 and an 11.
Ooh, okay, so...
Because...
That's unfortunate.
Apparently I suck.
Yeah, so Amatore's... if I had to go for, like, a distinct visual style for Amatore, it's like, you know those, like the Venetian kind of guard where they have like the like conquistador type hat and like a glaive and a shield and like a breastplate. That's sort of what Amatore has going on, with a little ruffled collar. And Amatore just like very easily, like just as you roll up to punch and you're still kind of waddling and like getting used to hard liquor instead of beer, Amatore just very easily blocks your unarmed strikes and looks at you and goes, "You have partaken of a substance that takes leave of your senses. For that, you must be cleansed." And he looks to be very, very angry with you.
That's unfortunate, because I just spent a key point do a flurry of blows as my bonus action.
Oh, shoot.
And do that two more times.
Cool. Go for it.
For 8 and 10. So Dirk's just like... Dirk's just swinging. No aim, nothing.
Amatoria's face turns from one of... like imperious, like I must cleanse you from your substance that is causing you a bad time, to like pity. Like, oh no, you drank so much before your fight, you shouldn't have come out here, like I gotta send you home real fast so that you could recover.
And Dirk's gonna look him in the eye and go, "You know what, brother, the only thing I'm left wanting is hitting you in the face."
Amatore turns to Finn and I go, "I don't think this one's okay to fight. He seems to be very out of it. I should probably just put him to sleep." And Finn's just, like, shrugs and goes, sure.
Could I, like, throw you a performance roll to, like, start really playing up how drunk I am?
Yeah.
To maybe gain some kind of leverage later on?
Ooh, sure.
So that's a 4 for performance, so I'm definitely not doing that.
Amazing. So it, like, the pity is just, it is spread, not just to Amatori, but the crowd. A lot of people are looking at you with pity. No one is chanting juice.
All right.
And you will have disadvantage on your next appeal check.
Oh my god, okay.
Alright, who's next?
Yeah, I was just talking shit about D&D Beyond's dice roller. I think this one did me dirtier.
Mm.
Excellent. Takeru is going to take his stance from the other side of the ring and, you know, look like he's going into it. But from an extreme distance, the crowd's going to be like, "What's going on here?" And then he's suddenly, with his 50 feet movement speed, going to launch himself forward super fast into Finn's.
Oh, okay.
The collision is going to be his first attack.
That's
I'm
amazing.
Hit him with three other attacks as well.
Yeah.
Using a key point for flurry of blows.
All right.
So I've got a... What's my modifier? 8, 12, 21, and... Oh, damn it. I thought that was a 22 or a 12. 9.
Ah, so only one of your attacks is going to hit as you barrel towards Finn's. And Finn's just kind of rolls around your movement, like kind of using your momentum to swing himself around you and ends up behind you. So you turn around and you swing with another hit. And you only really manage to connect with one of your blows before, while Finn's is like dodging and ducking and weaving. All the while, like occasionally stopping to catch a rose that somebody throws in his direction. And he looks at you with a little look of disappointment as he like looks over to like what's going on in the rest of the battle and like Dirk's whole fiasco. And Finn's is like, I was so worried that the brunch squad was going to really bring their best and brightest, but this is a little embarrassing.
And I'm going to be like, damn your dashing nature as I hit him, you know, with the one attack.
Yeah.
And that's going to apply, or I'm going to need a, which is it? A dex saving throw.
Sure. That is unfortunate because Finn's gets a plus 7 to dex saving throws. Rolls a 17. How much damage did he take?
7.
All right. Yeah. So the attack definitely impacts, right? You kind of take that step forward and do a quick jab that like impacts directly between the ribs, and you just like Finn's for the brief moment just like loses composure and just like, oh! Okay. That one hurt. Going to start taking you a little bit more seriously and takes out both knives. All right. So as you know, Dancer for their turn has dropped to the ground and groveled. And I believe that means that like all their movement has to be made in a prone crawling motion, which is unfortunate for Dancer because Dancer likes to be flashy. So Dancer just like army crawls over to where Waffles is. And just makes a one of the ice swords and swings. But it's not very efficient and it's very awkward. So what's your AC, Waffles?
14.
You have your fancy onesie that gives disadvantage on all attacks.
Bad idea.
Look at me forgetting the items I gave you. Yeah, Waffles, you like it's Dancer just keeps hitting the after image of you. And it's really awkward, and Dance is like, why am I not hitting you? What is happening? I don't understand. And you see Amatore looking at Dirk with disappointment. Amatore rubs his hands together. You see they start glowing with a sort of magical, like, bluish energy. And Amatore casts Lesser Restoration on Dirk, sobering him up instantly.
What the hell is this bullshit?
And Amatore, like, taps your shoulder, and it's like, don't worry, I'll get you out of here soon.
You know, just for that, I'm going to have to lay an extra thick ass whooping on your brother.
Such language. I understand. You have struggled for many years. This will be the first step of your recovery.
I got no comeback.
That's a real look at disappointment.
Dirk's just too sober to make a comeback right now.
Oh, that's very good. So... in addition to that, to Amatore spending the turn sobering him up, you see that Finn's is currently like embroiled in a fight with Takeru, and Finn's actually is going to use bonus action to disengage from Takeru and run over towards Dancer and attack at Waffles as well, so that Finn's can take advantage of his sneak attack. So like a whirlwind, Finn's rides outward and attacks with three short sword attacks and misses every single one against Waffles. It is embarrassing. So, and then like Finn's looks at Dancer with confusion and Dancer looks up and is like, don't look at me. Get rid of that. Points at, and only Dancer knows that Waffles is secretly a horrible evil mastermind. So Dancer has like real fear and Finn's is just like confused. Like, I was just fighting the Lucha Lion. I came over here to help. What's going on?
Lucha Lion.
You know, the Lucha Lion.
Perfect.
Like, what's going on here? So that kind of comes to a close and everyone can do their appeal now. And then we'll cut to the stands and see what's going on there. How does everyone want to appeal the crowd?
Waffles is going to do a little dance jig around Dancer. shake a little booty.
That's good. That's good. Go and roll for performance or whatever you would like to roll for that.
Okay, we'll do performance. Oh, 16.
16. So that's a pretty good dance. Yeah, you manage a very fancy jig around Dancer. While Finn's is like trying to pinpoint your location, but can't because of your fancy onesie. So you did very well. What is everyone else doing?
Seeing as Finn's just BTFO'd, Takeru is going to give an enraged roar and extend his claws and give like a scary pose.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that totally works. You can do, I'd say that can be like an athletics, a intimidation, whatever you would like to like kind of like use the physicality or use the actual noise. It's up to you.
I'm gonna go with intimidation, although they're both the same. That is 15.
All right, so. That's pretty good. The crowd is like looking over and they're like, maybe this group can make a comeback. Like they've had a little bit of a weird start, but maybe the brunch squad can bring it on back. So the crowd is starting to build back in your favor. Dirk, what are you doing?
All right. So inspired by Takiru's like show of power here, the flexing, the claws and the roar, Dirk is going to, as intimidatingly as possible, rip his shirt off.
go ahead and roll for your with disadvantage for your intimidating shirt maneuver, which the crowd is familiar with at this point.
How's a 9?
Oh,
it could have been a lot worse.
Could have been a lot worse. So you tear off your shirt and like. In the sober light of day, you're like, ooh, I have not been taking care of myself the way I should have for a fighting tournament. And only because you have been magically sobered up does that thought even cross your mind for a second before you realize that the crowd does not seem very impressed.
And just to make things worse, Dirk's like going to try to do that chest flex thing where you make like your pecs move independently. And he just ends up kind of like jiggling his whole torso instead.
Good, that's good. Yeah, the crowd is very confused.
And he just kind of looks like... just looks kind of disgusted, honestly.
The crowd is confused. Two parents cover their children's eyes, but the children's eyes were not covered when, like, the bloody snowman technique was used. So you think those parents, maybe they don't have their priorities in order. But it doesn't matter, because those children will no longer be in the frame. They're gone now. Point being, with a 15, a... what was it? 15, 16, and a 9... it's looking okay, but not the best. Dancer can't quite do the usual due to the fact that they're still groveling. So they flip over onto their back and shove Finn into the air. And that's going to count as part of their thing. So that's going to be an acrobatics for Dancer. That's a nat 1. Jeez, that's rough. Finn's is going to try to recover because the throw was just bad from the start. So Finn's appeal is just going to be a dex saving throw, which Finn's fails with a 12. So Finn's ends up like flipping over and landing on his side and like stands up and it looks really awkward. And Amatore looks over to his team and looks very confused, like, that's not how this usually goes. But then turns to Dirk and goes, I see. You will only understand my message of hope that I'm bringing you if I speak your language. And Amatore also tears off his shirt. Amatore rolls an 11. Mostly because the shirt gets kind of stuck on some of the armor and only half tears off. But you just see some abs under there. So they're a little bit more impressed with Amatore than they are with Dirk. So with... It was a close call, but the nat 1 really brought the whole team dynamic down, and it looks like you have gained momentum, so you're dealing an extra 10 damage this turn as you start off your fight. And while you think about what your fun team mechanics are going to be, we cut over to the stands, where the rest of your group is there in watching the fight go down.
Cynthia is walking through the crowd, and she's sporting a sports bra and athletic shorts to show off her entire, like, amazing physique.
Mm-hmm.
Though she has a little bit of a belly bump because she had a healthy brunch.
Ah, I see.
And after food bloat is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And
but she's not afraid to show it off.
Yeah,
she's
exactly.
She's not afraid to show it.
Because, like, abs disappear so easily. Like, it's not even funny. Like, they're gone the moment you have a meal.
Exactly. Tell me about it, brother.
And for the purposes of doing cool stuff, she's going to do a combination of spells where she is going to cast Spirit Shroud, where she summons a whole bunch of spirits and surrounding her, and she summons Create Food and Water. So she creates 45 pounds of food and 30 gallons of water. And I want it to be, instead of water, it is orange juice. And she is passing out brunch to the crowd.
Oh, we're digging in hard to the brunch theme. You're right. It is around lunchtime that this fight's taken place. It's taken place after the morning round, which had the, like I said, the Sindri and her butler just, like, devastate the Yeti's blood brothers. But yeah, you start handing out brunch and people are pretty happy with it. I'm going to say since you spent some spells and you got creative about it, it's a pretty automatic success. What is going on with Blaine?
So Blaine, having learned last time of the soup boys,
mm-hmm.
trying to cause some mischief.
Yeah.
Blaine has decided to just kind of sit in his seat, but he... is armed with his net, which is one of the only weapons he carries besides his... he has another weapon, but...
Yeah.
Mostly he carries around a net because it makes it easier to punch things later on.
He carries around two weapons, his gun show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. and so he's kind of just, like, on the lookout, like, looking for interference. But occasionally when he sees, like, a kid or something, like, look at him... He'll strike a pose, and he's, after a day or so, he's decided to lean into the give me hair thing. So he'll flex and say, give me hair!
And then the kid will be like, yeah! And they'll take out the weird toy that is on the market that is you, but with the limbs all in the wrong place, that just shouts, give me hair. So yeah, that's the same child whose eyes were covered when Dirk ripped off his shirt. The kid's got not great parents, what can I say? And then he's out of frame again and doesn't exist anymore. And it's a good thing that you're on the lookout and handing out brunch, because there's somebody else in this area of the stands also doing an activity that involves talking to lots of people. You see a halfling with a shock of bright green curly hair that is kind of like pulled back into a ponytail. He is shirtless and he is tattooed as if he has tiger stripes. He is generally pretty scarred and his physique is solid. And he is currently, it looks like, taking bets and saying, like, you all seen the Ice Fire Heroes. You know exactly what they do. They start off a little shaky with some of the acrobatic maneuvers. We all know Amatore's not very acrobatic. And then they come in hard with the swords and the daggers and the Amatore's, like, smite spells. It's crazy shit. So anyway, you betting on them or not? And you see a lot of people are like, yeah, that seems like it tracks. And this halfling then turns and, like, is immediately talking shit about the brunch crew. Though. Like, that's just a fucking dog. Sure, the other people are doing out punching and shit, but if it gets down to just the dog can't do shit. So once those big beefy fighters are gone, the big beefy monks are gone, it's just all dog from here. And then, you know what they say, you never bet on a dog that wears a onesie. And a couple people will also bet on the Ice Fire Heroes. It looks like this person's turning the public opinion against you.
Seeing this little halfling, Blaine is going to walk up to him and just tower over him.
Okay.
And I'm going to point at his head.
Yeah.
And I'm going to shout, give me hair. And I'm going to grab his hair.
Oh God!
No.
See, so at first when you stand and cover his shadow, his, like, when you stand behind him, you, like, block the light for a minute, And now you get a little closer, you recognize this halfling is the Grinning Tiger. He was one of the former champions for, but he retired after the whole, like, Night of Cruelties and, like, all the fights being suspended for 6 months, all that shit. So now he's kind of more in the gambling scene. So when you stand behind him, the first thing he goes is, can you move a little bit, 2 steps to the right? You're still not blocking all the light, and, you know, I want some shade if you're going to stand there. And then you yell, give me air, pick him up by his hair. And I imagine it's like a fun little, like, slow rotation for him to face you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, what the fuck is this?
I think you should move along and maybe place a bet somewhere else, young halfling.
I'm a clean 50 years old, first of all. Second of all, where the fuck do you get off? This is my business. I make my money selling bets. I know the words for gambling. You know me. And he just kind of like blanks out for a second. And that's me blanking out because I don't know words for gambling. And then the Grinning Tiger stops and is like, anyway, let me down. I got money to collect.
Well, let's just keep the trash talk to a minimum, shall we? Those are my friends down there. And that dog that you were talking about, they aren't to be trifled with.
Oh, why? Because they fit really well into those custom-made onesies. I could probably fit in one of those.
I could probably fit.
If you'd like, I can arrange a fitting for you after the fight.
Nah, I gotta make sure I'm showing the gun show. And you see, he is indeed, like, he's built pretty well for a halfling, but the tiger stripe tattoos and the green hair just make him look like a fucking clown.
I'll just lean in and I'll just whisper, if you don't stop talking bad about my friend, I'm going to take your hair. And I'd like to roll intimidation.
Absolutely.
22.
That's great. Ooh, that's amazing. So the Grinning Tiger shifts through a couple emotions. First, it's anger. Where the fuck do you get off? Second, it's assessing the situation. Like, right, his eyes kind of flicker left to right, up and down. Like, what's your relative level of strength? Where's the necessary exits? What can I do now that you're grabbing my hair? And then third, when you say that, is just like an immediate relaxation of the tension. He goes, yeah, I can be a little bit quieter if it's going to get your hair all up in a knot.
Good, good. Glad we had this talk. Yeah. And I'm going to just set him down gently and then walk back to my seat.
You feel something ping off the back of your outfit. You see a couple people laughing too.
I'll take a look.
It's kind of hard to see from the angle, but you see that a big, like, painted green smiley face has been drawn on the back of your shirt. It's got, like, tiger fangs and shit.
I'll just chuckle and head back to my seat.
You hear a sizzle.
Oh.
It wasn't just paint.
Oh.
Oh. It's acid splash.
Oh no.
Yeah, like it's like burning through the vest that you wore because everyone I really doubled down hard on the sleeves are illegal, so yeah, it's burning through your vest.
Oh, well, that's not cool. I'm gonna throw my net at him then.
Okay. Go ahead and that's what, a dex save for him?
Let me check here. I believe it's just an attack.
Go nuts.
Does Cynthia see any of this?
Yeah, Cynthia, you're in the middle of, you know, starting the world's only beefy Waffle House, and as you're doing that, you do notice that an altercation has occurred.
Ah, it's only a 12.
I wish to bless my compatriot in keeping our reputation well, so he gets to add a d4 to the number rolled.
Go nuts. What did you roll?
2, so it's a 14. To hit.
All right, so Grinning Tiger is unarmored at the moment and generally is a barbarian with a few spells. So what really happens is you throw the net and Grinning Tiger's like turned around and started taking more bets, but immediately the net like wraps around him and like tosses him to the ground and he looks over livid. He's like, you made a real choice enemy today, Blaine the Pebble Johnson, or Bronson, what was your last name?
Stevenson.
Stevenson. Blaine the Pebble Stevenson. And you hear a couple of people go, the pebble, that's pretty good.
I'm just going to pick up my net and sling it over my shoulder and head for the exit.
Okay.
With him wrapped up in it.
Yeah, okay. So as you do that, you feel like a certain, like a sharp thing of pain. As the grinning tiger is definitely stabbing you right now. Put me the fuck down.
Like I said, man, you should have fucking flung him.
You take six points of damage as this tiger tattooed green haired halfling is just stabbing you in the back right now.
That's fine.
Put me the fuck down. That's I got bets fine. To take. What the hell is this? I'm gonna kind of cut the scene there as you like wander over. And where do you leave him? Because he's in a net. Like, what are you gonna do with him?
I'm just gonna toss him out of the arena.
Okay.
No re-entry.
You go over to one of the, like, you know, like when you go to like stadiums and there's like those outside areas with the little food things, and it's like usually elevated, so there's like different levels to it. You go to one of those like open areas that there's like, it's all like, there's obviously a ledge and you can see the practice fields down below, and you just do a quick like whoop, and very much like Team Rocket style, there's a big pinprick of light as he goes pretty far. And then eventually tumbles, and you hear a pfft as he lands on the sand pit in the practice fields below.
Excellent.
You pass by like one person who's like, oh yeah, you got stabbed, mate. The stab wound in your back.
It'll heal.
Oh, are you sure? It looks pretty bad.
And I'll walk over and try and find Cynthia.
Okay, make a Constitution saving throw.
Sure. I'm actually good at those. I rolled a nat 20 for a total of 26.
Oh, that's very good. So you shrug off the poison that definitely coated the dagger that the grinning tiger stabbed you with. Yeah, so yeah, you make it back to the stands, and Cynthia's there, still passing out brunch. Any final things before we get back to the battlefield?
I'll just look at Cynthia and say, this place is full of strange people.
Yeah, but you got rid of the little problem, so we are good. I was thinking about banishing him, but you did a better job.
Oh my god! Just, you know.
I mean, I also banished him.
Yeah, I mean, he got banished all the same.
Yeah. And we hard cut, camera pans over to the front gates, and it's like, I'm sorry, we're closed. Like, you need a ticket to get in. You idiot! I'm the fucking grinning tiger. Let me the fuck in. I was taking bets. And it's like, so, sorry, these are the new rules. Queen Arumi's been very specific. No random arrivals in the middle of fights. That's how we get things like the demon that attacked 6 months ago. he's just stuck at the front gate. He looks really angry. All right. We return to the field of battle where your team is definitely going first as they have gained the momentum. So what's the plan?
Yay. I can go again. I'm sad, though. Mm-hmm. I didn't read it right. That was a bonus action. I could have actually still made a spell. But
okay.
Fine, whatever. I'm going to actually end my concentration on the Mantle of Majesty, and I'm going to actually cast Crown of Madness on
the classic. So Dancer stops being forced to crawl on the ground, and instead, let's see how Dancer does.
It's a Wisdom save, by the way.
Yeah, I'd assume so. Dancer rolls a 21.
God damn it!
And as soon as you release the spell, Dancer, the metal crown appears around Dancer's head, and they just shove their hands between their forehead and the crown and just, like, wrench it apart and stand up, and an ice sword just appears in their hands in front of you, and they point it at you, and they go, I don't care how long it takes, I'm going to take these swords, and I will rid your evil from this world. And the way that Dancer says it, everyone goes, oh, haha, hero gimmick, yay! But you know, Dancer means it.
Ah, fuck. That was out of character.
Oh, that's good.
He just looks mad.
All right. Yeah. All right, so what's next from your team? Mm-hmm.
I can't do cantrips as a bonus. Can I cast, because that's the only bonus I can do, mm-hmm. is...
You can give inspiration, you can...
Yeah, I'm going to give a bardic inspiration to Dirk, because sounds like he could need it.
Because let's be real, Dirk needs it.
Yeah, so all right. I'm going to give one to Dirk.
All right. Well, how are you inspiring Dirk? What's going on in Waffle Town?
Okay. Waffles is gonna yell over to Dirk and be like, "Come on, human, you got this! Don't be stupid."
Oh, that's precious.
That's the inspiration that he needs.
That's very good. Yeah.
And Dirk's going to look back at you. He's going to wink, give you a thumbs up, and say, thanks, brother.
And the wink is, like, slower, too, because Dirk is sober now. Not by choice.
Never by choice.
Yeah. All right, so what's Dirk or Takara? What are you doing?
So Dirk's got a vendetta with Amatore here. And he hasn't hit him yet.
Yeah.
And he's pissed. He's just fucking pissed. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else to really say about that. So I'm going to make my two attacks against him.
Okay.
And I'm going to roll these in D&D Beyond this time, because let's be real. Mm. Discord rolling has not been doing it for me. 17 and 23 to hit.
Much better. Yes, you absolutely hit Amatore.
With both?
Yeah, 17 is enough to hit Amatore.
Awesome.
He's not fully plated up. It is a semi-plate situation.
That's going to be 11 damage total.
Very good.
And then, of course, I'm going to go ahead and expend a key point and hit him two more times.
Yeah. So, like, almost as if, like, overwhelmed by some sort of newfound energy... your sober self just goes, "How dare you do this to me?" And, like, immediately lands two hits.
And that's going to be an additional 13 damage total.
Very good. Yeah, Amatore takes those hits, right? You find all the weak spots, especially that after Amatore tried to tear off his shirt. You know, some pretty good spots to punch now. So you get in there and you duck and weave between the blows as you duck around this glaive. And I said glaive and shield, that doesn't quite make any sense because glaive is the spear, whatever. So you duck around and you duck around the shield and the spear and you pop, 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 and you get some good hits in. And Amatore looks to be bloodied. And you deal the extra damage, too.
And Dirk's just gonna look at Amatore in the eyes and go like, "No one gets between me and my liquor brother."
"Oh, it appears that you are a lost cause. You must be with the night creatures after all." And he looks over to the crowd like he's getting ready to say something on his turn. Alright. Sounds good. Take care.
All right. Well, Takara is going to menacingly tromp up behind Dancer and say, "What are you doing to my dog?"
Oh my god!
Yeah, you definitely catch them off guard because they look over like, "You don't understand. You're working with this person like willingly. You can't do that. They're dangerous.
They're a
dangerous dog."
Waffles is just gonna really quick. Joe Waffles is gonna be glaring at Dancer's head, but make sure, because I like to think I'm shorter, so I'm Takeru can't see it. But then all of a sudden, Waffles is gonna yell, "Help me, Takeru, help me!"
Gonna be like, "Waffles, dangerous evil, really?"
And Dancer like, "No, you don't understand.
Dangerous evil."
Like, I don't know how to explain it. They specifically pointed at me and magically glowed. So yeah, Takara, what are you doing? Dancer is like very flustered, trying to get you to believe them that Waffles is a danger and a menace.
His ire is only going to be increased even more.
Oh, that's good.
By the disrespect of his teammate, and he's going to go slap happy with four hits on. Excellent. So I got a 20, a 16, and a 25.
Yeah, you hit the answer. 20, 16, and a 25. What was the last one?
11.
11. 11 misses, but the rest of them hit. So yeah, go ahead and unload your flurry of punches onto Dancer.
For a total of, what is that? 22 damage. And I'm going to need a strength and a constitution saving check.
All right. So Dancer is going to make that con save and succeed with, I assume succeed with a 24.
Yeah.
And a strength save, that's going to be a 20. So Dancer is well set in, like, I have to at least incapacitate Waffles before it's too late. So even though, like, so you run up on, yeah, you run up on Dancer and you manage to, like, break through a bunch of the ice swords to get and, like, land a bunch of blows and kicks on them, and they immediately, like, reform some ice swords and, like, put one to try to parry you and then start moving towards Waffles. All right, so that's a full house of turns. Amatore looks over to the crowd and looks over at Dirk with a look of sadness. And he turns to the crowd and he's like, I have judged this person and I have found out something very important. And the crowd goes, what? And Amatore turns to you, Dirk, with a sad look on his face. And he's like, he has been colluding with the creatures of the night and he has been found wanting. And I must destroy him to save my family. And everyone goes, family! And Amatore takes out his spear, and you see that it's like a really crazy looking, like, very fancy filigreed metal spear. And immediately charges it with a smite. He's going to cast Blinding Smite. And he's going to attack with 3 attacks. Yeah, only one of them does, though. So you take 8 points of slashing damage and 11 radiant damage. And I need you to make a constitution saving throw.
Oh my, that's a lot of shit going on at once, man. Yeah. All right, so my con save. Yes. I'm just going to go ahead and add my bardic inspiration to that. What's the dice, a 6 or an 8?
It should be an 8 at this level.
So that's going to be a 17 constitution save.
You're fine. You don't go blind.
And how much damage was that total?
It was 19 total.
19, thank you. And then... if you'll allow it,
yes.
I would like to use my tipsy sway. Ooh. But I'd like to alter it. Mm-hmm. Seeing as one of those attacks missed, yep. I would like to spend a key point mm-hmm. and redirect Ooh. It, but I'd like to redirect the attack at Amatore.
Ooh, okay, yeah, I like that.
And it
that.
Doesn't say I can do that. It says I can do another creature.
I'm going to say Fins is that. Close enough. I think that, like, this battle has gotten really close. So you can target it at Fins, or you can, like, whirl around his spear and hit Amatore. It's up to you.
I'd like to make him hit himself.
All right, sure. I'm going to say it's not how it's written, but I don't care about rules. Well, I care some about rules, but I care not that much. We'll see. Go ahead and roll to see how that's going to work.
Yeah, let's see. How am I supposed to roll it?
What does it say? Is it just like the attack? If
it says I can
him?
Just spend a key point to cause the missed attack to hit a creature of your choice.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no. So you take the spear, right? The first one hits you, and immediately the blinding smite goes off, and a big flash of light gets in your eyes. But you're sober, so a big flash of light doesn't hurt as much as it would if you were drunk. And you manage to... yeah, so you manage to overcome it, and you grab the spear, take it out of yourself, flip it backwards, you hit Amatore in the jaw and then hit him. And he takes a grand total of 12 points of damage.
You might want to stop hating yourself, brother.
And he also takes an additional 10 because of your momentum, which resets at the end of your turn. So if you're hitting your opponents during their turn, it can also do that extra damage. So yeah, Amatore's looking rough. All right, so after Amatore goes, you see Fins goes over to support Dancer and attacks Takara. And Fins has kind of been managing to only got hit once. Takara, what's your AC?
18.
You get hit by 2 of these short sword strikes, and you take a grand total of 20 piercing damage, plus a sneak attack. That's going to deal... going to deal an additional 15. So you take 25 points of piercing damage. as Finn's just like runs forward and like does that cool guy thing of like slashing with the sword and then dropping it and catching it with the other hand and slashing you again, and then misses with the other one because you managed to like knock the hand aside, but it's too late because that one of those stabs got a real good sneaky hit in. And then Finn's is going to use a bonus action to disengage from Takeru and run over next to Amatori. And finally, you see Dancer, who's still engaged with Takeru, is going to leave that range. So Takeru, you can make an attack of opportunity if you want.
Excellent. Waffles, too?
No, because he's going towards Waffles.
Okay. In that case... 22.
Yes.
All right. Waffle.
Six
yeah.
22 does hit, and you do deal 6 damage. And you see Dancer just shrug it off because so much focus has now turned towards stopping Waffles and whatever evil machinations lay behind those adorable eyes. And you see Dancer do an ability that is very rarely seen in the fight. As instead of drawing a bunch of ice in the air or moisture in the air into an ice sword, you see Dancer just take a whole chunk of ice and just fling it upward like a serpent and like literally slam down and try to pick up Waffles. So Waffles, give me a strength saving throw.
Oh god, a strength saving throw?
Yeah.
Oh no.
If they can't hit you with a, if they can't hit you with a sword, they're going to grab you with a with an ice telekinesis situation.
Oh, 11.
All right, so you had to beat a 13, which unfortunately you did not. So you see Waffles is just like flung upward by this like pillar of ice and like trapped in like an arm made of ice that Dancer has kind of conjured up and used to grab stuff. And that's a spell. That's a very long spell, so I'm giving it a read. Well, it looks like no damage, but Waffles is very high up now and can't see Dancer or anyone in particular because right now they're like completely covered in ice. All right, so... And you're restrained for whatever that matters, because, you know conditions and D&D and shit. But point being, Waffles is trapped in a tomb of ice! And that's going to be Dancer's turn, and that's going to be all of them. And they all look to, like, they look... Amatori especially looks really hurt, and so does Dancer. But they look like they have a renewed vigor. Like, this is now more important than just winning the fight, especially with Dancer leading them. We cut back to the stands, where it appears that things have actually calmed down a little bit. You do see, now sitting down in the stands around you, in the same sort of area, is Sindri and her butler. Her butler looks worse than the last time you saw him. Before, he was looking like he was very, very sick, and he was, like, gray in color, and you would hear strange cracking whenever he moved. Now he looks like he hasn't consumed food in a while, and his eyes are kind of bloodshot. And he's wearing that little butler outfit, but it's kind of hanging, sagging from him. Like, it's not fitting him well anymore. And every movement, like a twitch of the head, a blink of the eye, is causing that, like, cracking noise.
I'm getting some strong, like, Men in Black vibes where the, like, the roach guy wears the farmer's skin.
Yeah.
And Sindri is just sitting placidly looking at the fight. But does seem particularly delighted as Amatori is getting his ass whooped. Anything we want to do in the stands before we do to we go back to appeals?
So Cynthia, seeing Sindri, is going to do a swoosh of her hair and walk over to her.
Yeah, and she's in her like jet black evening gown, like she would be like to go out for a night on the town type of thing. That's the only thing you've ever seen her wear, even during fights. You see, she's wiped off some blood from it, but there's still a couple specks.
No, I don't have any spells that can remove blood. Okay. But she's going to walk up to her and be like,
"Hey, you enjoying the fight here?"
"Oh, yes. Normally I don't stay. But at some point I'll probably have to fight all of you. And I figured I would get this excellent opportunity to watch how you dismantle those little heroic types."
Okay. trying to put the flirt on, and I'm not very good at it in real life. So
she I don't know if you would notice. Well, you've noticed that she doesn't blink for one.
Uh-huh.
But she does like turn her head with a slowness that is off-putting. And once again doesn't blink, and she's got those like the very bright purple irises.
Cynthia feeling a boost of confidence in her seeing that our team is awesome. She's like, yeah. Yes, we are strong team. We also have a lot of breakfast. And one of the spirits that she summoned brings over a plate.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them also like pats the butler on the head.
The butler grabs a biscuit or something and just like pushes it against his mouth, but is unable to open his mouth to eat it.
Gosh, trying to be funny, I'm not coming up with anything.
there's your problem. You're trying. What do you want to say to Sindri? Like, what is Cynthia here for?
She's going to be like, okay, I'm not best at this, but I'm going to be very direct with you. You are very pretty, and I would like to have brunch with you sometime.
Oh, okay. I see. You see her blink once, and it is very deliberate. And she opens her eyes again, and she looks at you. She thinks for a minute. Okay. Sure.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I probably have fight tomorrow. So before fight, we have brunch.
Okay.
And then you can see
she
me...
does one very deliberate blink again.
And then you can see me win. And I will do it for you this time.
Oh, that'll be delightful.
Awesome. It is date.
Yes. And Butler will be there as well.
Looks at Butler.
Butler does not seem to respond and just pushes the biscuit. Like, instead of just trying to push it back and forth, just pushes it, like, smushes it onto his face.
Charming.
I don't go anywhere without the help.
It is fair. I have my own help as well. And right. She's pointing at the spirits that are surrounding her and still giving out food to the crowd.
Of course. Very, awesome. Very good, Cynthia.
Enjoy seeing my team win.
Oh,
yes. They are cool.
It is very likely that they might. And she stops blinking and will no longer blink for the rest of the episode. And now stares directly forward and watches the fight. Butler has given up on the biscuit and is now just staring in like two directions at once as two of his eyes just drift in different directions.
So Cynthia now has the happiest look on her face ever. And she glances to Blaine and she like gives big thumbs up and is like super just giddy now.
Cute. All right. We come back to the battle where you've turned the tide. One coming out from behind, you've like actually brought it up, but it looks like Dancer's not going down without a fight. So what are you all doing to appeal?
Can I do anything? Because I'm restrained or no? I don't know what I... Look how restrained I am.
You can try. You can still talk.
So I have my... It's like I'm grabbed, like, I'm restrained, like, arms and legs, but my face is still up there, out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I can talk. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You could play up your cuteness to the crowd and make Dancer seem like he's a big old meanie.
Yeah, I was gonna pump the crowd up, like yell and be like, yeah, I think I'll do that. I'll yell to the crowd and be like, who do you want to win? Let me hear you.
And you see, because like now it just looks like Dancer has just gone off the deep end and like used a move that like Dancer never uses to trap a dog in a onesie. So everyone is booing at Dancer and definitely cheering you on. Go ahead and roll persuasion.
Woohoo! 23.
Yeah, no, the crowd, it's almost like devastating. because the crowd has looked at Dancer and everyone's like, today's the day. Today's the day Dancer went and did a heel turn. Oh my God. And like, it's spreading and everyone's like, oh no, Dancer's going to join the villain squad. Like all these like rumors are just like circulating and Dancer's looking like upset and tries to explain like, no, you don't understand.
No, you don't understand.
So yeah, that's going to be yours. It is very successful. What does everyone else do?
Takeru is going to, from behind, watching this happen, point at Dancer and shout about how he's a wicked evildoer. He's attacking a poor puppy. We can't let this stand. I will vanquish him.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Go ahead and roll appeal. Whatever you can do, persuasion. You can do deception. Well, it wouldn't be deception for you. You believe it. It would be persuasion. You can roll with advantage though, because
performance.
Yeah, or performance. You can roll with advantage though, because the crowd has definitely been swayed at the overwhelming use of force being used on a dog right now.
I only got 13.
But 13 is still pretty good. The people they're already on board with Waffles' message, so you're preaching to the choir here. All right, Dirk, what are you doing?
So sort of playing off of this thing that's going on, Dirk's gonna start talking. Far too long, brothers and sisters, have you fell victim to the treachery that is these heroes of ice and their lies about being heroes. Clearly, they are villains. Who would assault a dog with ice magic? That is over the top. Excessive use of force. Tyrannical, I dare say.
Go ahead and roll. It can be a performance. It can be a persuasion. It's up to you.
It's no, not that no. Good.
Shame.
It's a seven.
Seven. So it's a question of diminishing returns, because it's like, oh my God, Waffles is in danger. And then the two other people are like hamming it up a little too much. And it's like, yeah, we get it. It's a fucking fake thing. You're all friends in real life. We understand the concept of kayfabe. And so like, as you go down the line, it goes from like, Waffles is in danger. Dancer's going to turn evil, to like, yeah, we're watching a show. And it like becomes a sobering thought instead of like an exciting thought.
Damn it, Dirk.
Dirk's dice rolls today have been great for me to describe things.
Today? Yeah. I've been giving you content this whole time.
Delicious, delicious content. What the people want. And you see, Amatori looks over at Dirk and whistles. And you hear and this is going to be Amatori's appeal move, as you see emerging from Amatori's side of the arena is a horse, a quasi-real horse-like creature, spirit situation. That, like, it looks like if you mixed a seahorse with a land horse, so it has, like, a seahorse face and, like, a ridged sort of body, but it's got regular horse legs and, like, a tail. And Amatori just, like, jumps and sits on top of it, and, like, it does, like, the classic, like, neigh and, like, two legs up in the air horse pose. And he holds out the spear, and he whirls it around, and it's like, I will not go down without a fight. Not as long as I haven't found my family. And everyone yells back, family! It's great. So let's roll. That's going to be... Yeah, it's going to be probably performance. Oh, that's disappointing, Amatori. Amatori gets a cool seven. So Amatori is like, yeah, my family. And then like, the horse just like shudders a little bit, like something fucks with the magic, and Amatori just like shifts and falls off, and like he lands on his feet, but he's not on the horse while it's doing the move anymore, so the move isn't as cool. And Amatori like immediately holds up the spear and like clambers back onto the horse. That's gonna be his turn. You see Dancer, who is almost like gone numb to the crowd, and he's just like, I'm not. Only true villains would do what that dog just did. And almost Dancer's saying it to, like, no one in particular. And they take it, and they take their, like, icicle situation. And for their appeal, it's going to be an intimidation, because they undo the bind that they have on Waffles and drop Waffles 50 feet.
Bah! Oh, no.
So, Waffles, you're taking 5d6 damage.
Could I be, like, a... Could I be like an agile dude and attempt to like rush over and catch Waffles?
Sure.
To lessen
keeping
the
in mind
there?
That if this roll goes poorly, you will both be hurt. Sure.
Yes. You want acrobatics or athletics?
You can do whichever one fits your situation right now.
Okay. How's a 22?
Oh, that's great. Yes. Yeah. So, as you know, monks have that like slow fall type ability. So you kind of run alongside the wall, moving way faster than you would normally be able to. And you catch Waffles and reduce, and like you manage to reduce the damage as you land. So Waffles doesn't get hurt by this maneuver, but the intimidation that is being put on display right now does resonate with the audience, as it appears that Dancer has rolled an 18 for their appeal. So the audience is like, oh my god, like maybe it was real after all, maybe this is the heel turn. And Finn's looks over to Dancer, and Dancer kind of like nods, like this is important. And Finn's is like, okay. And Finn's immediately like takes a scarf that they wear normally around their neck and like push it up to their mouth and do like a bandito type of thing. And immediately like rush forward and like fling their daggers in the air. And they're also running towards Waffles. So they're going to do a performance roll.
Oh my gosh!
With a nat one. So the bandito mask just like flies off in the wind. So you get that same like baby face, like Finn situation of like, oh, that's a young heartthrob. So immediately everyone starts throwing flowers at him, and the flowers just like misalign his like movement. So he does not like do a sick run up to Waffles like he intends to, and instead just kind of have to slow to a stop as a bunch of flowers hit him in the face. All right. So it looks like your team handily succeeded. Between the nat 1, the 5, and the 18. I think your team is going to be leading the pack this time around. And you've bumped up to maximum appeal. So you're at the end of your turn. If you deal damage, you're dealing an additional 20 damage.
Fuck yeah!
But it does appear that all of them want to target Waffles this turn.
Oh no! Okay. I have an idea, but I don't know if it's going to be able to happen.
What's your idea?
I wanted to see if you know in Shrek how Puss in Boots charms everyone. Actually, I can't. I think I have a spell, but I don't know if that would give my friends any advantage if I try to charm all, and since they're all coming towards me anyways.
I'll say that distracts them, so yeah. It would give your friends advantage if you can charm, especially Dancer. Because Dancer's kind of leading the charge here. If you can charm Dancer, that'll give your friends advantage.
Okay.
I have an alternate strategy that you could consider is try to use your charming prowess in mass on the crowd. Ooh. As opposed to on our enemies. To essentially, if this goes to the next round, that just secures us favor, essentially.
But we're already at max.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that'll keep him from taking us down from max.
Yeah, exactly. It'll just kind of ensure that we're where we're at.
I will say, if you're at max appeal and you appeal to the crowd more, it will cause the crowd to get rowdy enough that they will start interfering with the match.
So then, no.
what that means is dependent on what the situation is. But in general, a rowdy crowd can be a good thing and a bad thing.
I'm all for chaos. But it's not.
Well, it's anyone's turn, technically.
Yeah, anyone can go.
Well, I'm not the one who can do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I want a rowdy crowd. That could be because, like you said, it could be bad or it could be really good.
Well, right now in your situation, the rowdy crowd will not be against you. The rowdy crowd will probably be against Dancer.
That's true. Okay. Let's just do some chaos. Why not? Waffles is chaotic. Do you want me to roll? I technically have enthralling performance, but that's only four creatures.
Yeah, so that one's more of like if you're out and about, this would be like you rolling for it with like persuasion or performance or deception, however you want to tackle this.
Okay, so all of a sudden, Waffles is just going to drop to the floor. Just dramatically drop to the floor and start wailing and just like cry. Just tears fill up their eyes and they look out into the crowd and look around and be like, Dancer's got
gone crazy, and I don't know why. I don't understand. We've been friends even outside of here, but he's hurt me, and he's trying to get me, and I don't know why.
And he's just gonna, like, send out beams of help. Just, you know,
That's so good. Go ahead and, what did you roll for performance or deception or persuasion? What are we doing for this?
I haven't rolled anything, but let's do performance.
Hell yeah.
I'm scared.
This is great.
That's a 27.
Yeah, all right.
Plus 10.
Yeah, so... So this is the first time that we've encountered this mechanic, right? You're already at max appeal, and you have pushed the crowd into the frenzy zone. You're crying and freaking out in fear. That cuts, right? It goes from, like, ah, this is a friendly match, to, like, oh my god, Dancer's gonna kill Waffles, the mascot of the brunch crew, the most loved awakened animal on this island right now. My kids have Waffles merch. That can't happen. So immediately, people are throwing bottles, food from the brunch squad ghosts, out, like, just globs of soup. You see that the two lizard folk that, like, hang out and make soup to stick people together, they're just throwing soup. Like, it's getting crazy. As the arena floor is now littered with, like, nonsense. Like, with, like, streamers, with, like, roses, with rocks, with breaks that have been pried from things. Somebody who's very strong just picks up their entire stand chair and chucks it onto the battlefield. It hits Dancer in the head, and Dancer drops concentration on their ice telekinesis spell. So all of the ice just, like,
Blaine.
Drops to the ground. and the crowd is now rowdy, and what that means is occasionally on your turns, random things will be thrown at your opponents.
Okay, as a bonus action, can I do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna give it to Karu, because there we go. I'm gonna give him a bardic inspiration point.
Amazing. Yeah, no, the people are like, because the people have already seen Takeru try to defend Waffles, so they're all very much on your side. Somebody throws Takeru the biggest bow staff you've ever seen.
Oh, snap.
Like, it's like a literal, like, it's one of those Sun Wukong pillars. Like, it was stolen from a temple in heaven or something.
All right, he's going to snatch it out of the air and twirl it around.
All right.
Strike a cool little pose.
Yeah, the people fucking lose their shit. They're like, hell yeah, this is why we love WrestleMania violence. and I realize I haven't been saying WrestleMania enough in a game titled Road to WrestleMania. This whole tournament, this new tournament, is called WrestleMania, just in case anyone did not know that. And the people are loving it. This is crazy. The crowd is in a frenzy. So what are you all doing next? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Dirk's going to take both of his hands, and he's going to get some soup mixed with some dirt from the arena floor and do, like, war paint.
Oh, great.
On himself.
Oh, no. And he's shirtless? Oh, God.
he's gonna turn his ire to Dancer here, because Dirk doesn't understand that this isn't a performance from Waffles. Dirk now believes wholeheartedly that Dancer is trying to kill Waffles, and that can't happen.
Oh, my God.
So Dirk's gonna go and give Dancer the biggest people's elbow WrestleMania has ever seen.
That's great. That's so good. You have advantage.
Dirk is going to begin. Okay. Yeah. Well, I was gonna ensure advantage as how high do the columns on the sides of the arena go?
The columns go about like 10 feet, so you can, like, climb up them and then, like, swing off of them or, like, jump between them if you want. There's a bunch of, like. I've mentioned in previous sessions, the arena is, like, kind of made of stone, and it has these, like, pillars with, like, different handholds and stuff, so you can climb up them and get some verticality.
Okay. So, yeah, Dirk is going to run up the pillar, leap off the top, and come down on Dancer with a people's elbow. You said advantage on that?
Yeah, for sure.
How's a 24 to hit?
24 definitely hits Dancer, who is still distracted from losing the concentration on ice telekinesis.
All right, so it's going to be 5 damage for the first hit. I'm then going to forego my second attack, make an athletics roll to grapple Dancer.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Okay. So that's a 14 athletics to grapple him.
I'm going to say Dancer got disadvantage right now. With a 9 is definitely going to fail. Dancer is now pinned.
And then I'm going to burn another key point so I can make 2 additional attacks as bonus action this turn.
Ooh,
as Dirk is going to pull a growler off of his belt and he's going to scream juice at the crowd and begin chugging it.
For the first time in this fight, the crowd has returned to you and they are all screaming juice, juice, juice.
And as Dirk's doing this, well, he's got Dancer in a headlock. He's kind of like bouncing up and down with each chant of juice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm picking up what you're putting down. This is good.
A 22 and a 15 to hit, unless you want me to take advantage and then I can reroll.
No,
that
no,
15.
You for sure hit with both of those right now.
And that's going to be 15 damage. As Dirk smashes the growler on Dancer's face and then finishes with just like an uppercut into his nose.
All right, so with Dancer being the only person right now who knows Waffle's true horrifying intentions, just everyone is turned against him, against them. It's literally like the invasion of the body snatchers where like, I know that they're monsters, but nobody believes me. And like, literally like, Dancer, who was like a delighted hero, other groups of adventurers would say nice things about them, you know, like this is somebody people liked, and immediately all of that has fallen away as Dirk just like smashes a growler on Dancer's face, flings them upwards, and like kind of does like a back bend and drops them with a full suplex, and Dancer is out cold.
That's right. Nobody messes with the brunch crew, brother.
And the crowd goes fucking wild. They throw what appear to be sacks of money. One of them does hit your shin. It hurts a little bit. They throw like whole pies that somehow land perfectly on the arena so they can be eaten afterwards. They throw some meat pies that do not land perfectly and shatter into meat and fried dough everywhere. People are losing it. You see Finns and Amatore look to be very disheartened. And Takara, you have a pillar of heaven, as it were.
Excellent. What is the stats on this thing?
It's going to be a quarter staff, a plus 2 quarter staff, basically. But the important thing is that its range is functionally infinite as long as you can see, because you can extend it out like the Sun Wukong pillar.
Oof. All righty. And he's going to intuit this naturally because reasons.
Yeah, of course. No, you've all heard of this legendary weapon. In fact, Brother Fred has shown it to you, and then you realize and you look up and like a little, like a friar looking guy is like giving you 2 thumbs up and like pointing at himself. Like he threw the pillar of heaven to you. He wasn't supposed to take it out of the Temple of Issel, but he did it anyway.
Brother Fred coming through.
Yeah, no, he gives you like a bunch of thumbs up. He's very excited.
Which one of the two, Finns or Amatore, look more damaged?
Amatore looks like a stiff breeze could knock him out. Finns looks to be... you've only hit Finns once. It's mostly been Finns' own clumsiness, or actually Finns' fans that have stopped Finns from getting closer and hurting you all more.
Well, I'm going to focus on Finns then, and I'm going to give a flurry of blows.
All right.
And 2 attacks with this beautiful staff I've been gifted.
Mm-hmm.
16, 28, 26, and... 11.
All right, so 3 of those hit. So you just like immediately lay the smackdown on Finns. You kind of like stretch out the staff and use it as like a leverage to push yourself upward into the air, and then you shrink the staff and you fall with it to get closer and lay the smackdown.
For a total of 32 damage.
Plus the 20, you see Finns flung, it get basically with your full flurry, you just like land, you hit him once more with the quarterstaff, you land 2 flurry strikes, and those last 2 flurry strikes kind of both hit him in the chest, and he just flies backwards and he's out cold against the arena wall. And it looks like the only person left after all of your turns is going to be Amatore, who looks over to his collapsed team and everyone throwing stuff at him, and there's a moment of clarity that washes over him. An angelic choir is singing in his head, and he realizes this hasn't actually helped him find his missing sister. For all he knows, she could be off with some pirates digging treasure or something. He can't be here. So he gets on the horse, and he slaps its behind, and it kind of, like, does the, like, yeah thing, and then it immediately, like, turns over, and Amatari turns to you, Dirk, and you hear him across the distance. It should be impossible, but you hear him, and he's speaking directly to you, and he goes, I spent so much time judging others that I lost sight of my true purpose. Be careful here in WrestleMania. You can lose yourself to the fight. And he hits the reins on the seahorse horse, and it disappears into the midday. As Viridia looks over and realizes that there are no more opponents, and trying desperately to calm down the crowd, goes, "No, it looks like Dancer and Finns are out cold, and Amatori has had a moment of clarity in his life. The fight's over. The brunch crew wins." Like, the stadium shakes from how much people are cheering people on. And, like, you cut to several NPCs you've met before, right? You see some of the shopkeepers with their various toys that they make. They're all there, like, oh, man, this is awesome. This could boost merch sales. You cut over to Sindri, who has blinked for the total of third time since I've brought her up in this session. But she's blinking in an approving way. The butler has slumped over, and his head is looking at a dangerous angle. We cut over to Brother Fred, who looks very excited and then immediately realizes he's in a lot of trouble for taking the Pillar of Heaven out of the temple. And we pan over like a bunch of the other wrestlers, and they're all like, oh, man, this is a crazy fight. This one's going to go down in history. And as the fight ends, you return to the locker room.
Oh, wait a second. By the way, is Dancer just out cold by the end of all of this we're walking away? Okay.
Yeah, Dancer's out cold.
Waffle's going to look around really quickly, even though he's out cold, and just, like, give him, just, like, inside his head, just, like, a flip-off. Just a little message flip-off.
We zoom into Dancer's head. You see Dancer in a desert, chatting up a very pretty Kalistar person. And, like, it's clearly, like, a dream of some sort that they're experiencing while knocked out cold. And just, you know, they're having a really nice time. They're very happy. And it zooms in, and, like, the moon behind the two people, behind Dancer and this Kalistar non-binary person that they're hitting on, you see the moon has turned itself into a tiny dog hand, and the dog hand is flipping Dancer off. And Dancer in the dream just shakes his fist, shakes their fists into the sky, and they're like, no! And that's what happens in Dancer's dream.
Hi everyone, I hope you had a good time listening to our WrestleMania mini campaign. But I know what you're thinking. Maybe you want to hear a little bit more of my voice. Maybe you're interested in cosmic horror. Thankfully, I exist in a really weird intersection of that, because I actually play in a Twitch streamed D&D campaign as Weary, the Artificer Tiefling, who is in general having a bad time dealing with a lot of chaos cults and overall lots of cosmic horror. The moon is scary, the demigods are scary, and our DM Lucas does a great job of making sure that just being alive for that full hour and a half or so is incredibly scary. So if you want to give that a good follow and a good listen, you can find us at Ballad of the Seven Dice on Twitch and YouTube. YouTube is where you'll find our episodes the day after. If you want to catch us live, we stream on Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Not only that, you can actually find recaps of our episodes on the Ballad of the Seven Dice website as well. You might be thinking, what is Ballad of the Seven Dice? It's actually a separate actual play podcast that you can listen to on your podcasting app of choice. So you get two campaigns for the price of one difficult name to remember. And I know you can handle it. So this is just between us. If you do show up and you see Weary being nervous, I don't know, do a little shout out. Say something about wrestling. I think that'd be neat. But when you're not doing that, you can definitely watch Weary and the rest of the gang be very, very nervous while they fight off the Cult of Chaos. And that is, again, Ballad of the Seven Dice. You can find us on the socials. I'm part of the Rise of Nyarlathotep campaign on Twitch, Tuesdays, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. See you there.
Thank you for listening to our show. Are We Dead Yet is part of the 1UP Podcast Network. Find more of our shows at 1uppodcasts.com. Intro and outro music by Salty Dog Company. Find more of their work on SoundCloud by searching for Salty Dog Co. Spell dog, D-A-W-G. Background music provided by Andrew Sitkov, under license purchased through Humble Bundle. Additional background music provided by TabletopAudio.com, under an attribution, non-commercial, 4.0 international license from Creative Commons. Tracks used include Field of Heroes, Cry Havoc, Skirmish, Medieval Fair, Superhero, and Endgame. Waffle's theme song was Ice Cream With You by Loyalty Freak Music, under a public domain dedication. A special thanks to Ian for running our Road to WrestleMagia campaign. Find Ian over at BalladOfTheSevenDice.com or on Twitch at BalladOfTheSevenDice. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of the show. Bye!